Okay, now we are going to comment on the latest articles published about PHP in PHP Passes blog on October. There are like 6 articles to comment. Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
Okay, let me share the screen. So, the first article I want to comment is encrypt for form data without SSL in PHP. So sometimes, I guess, you know, we all know we use HTTPS and SSL to encrypt data that we send to the server, but sometimes I guess there could be reasons that you could not use that. For example, you have a limited port, you cannot only use this existing port or I don't know, any other certificate requirements, something like that. So the author, Francisco de la Aguila, explains how we could do it other way using his PHP, I guess his PHP form encryption.
Yeah, this is interesting because it uses private and public keys.
Yeah, so the idea... the idea is that how would you pass a key before encrypting all the information that you send. So the idea is that server is the one first who generates RSA key pair and sends the public key to the basically form, the client. The client generates the its own key and then encrypts it with this public key and sends it to server. Then server decrypts it with his private key and both has both keys so they can communicate. And this
Well, this is, I think it's smart too. Nowadays, SSL certificates are easy and free, and you can install them. But if for some reason you cannot do that, you can use these. It probably will not avoid man-in-the-middle attacks. I mean, somebody pretending to be a user. It's not man-in-the-middle attacks, but at least it can provide a solution for very specific cases on which you cannot use SSL certificate.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays, I guess sites are all moving to SSL. I start doing it in PHP classes, but I do it gradually. Actually, it already used the SSL certificates for many months, but the non-SSL version was not the default. So I'm gradually making the default for all the pages, but I need to do it one section at a time. Well, anyway, in this case, it's for situations, regardless if you are using SSL or not. So it adds an additional encryption layer.
Yep. Okay, and the next article is You Have Doing PHP and Iteration the Wrong Way by Samuel Edeshina. And basically, yeah, when we think about iterating for something, the first cells that come up are for each, for and while loops, the standard loops that have most of programming languages there. And in this article, Samuel Edeshina mentions that there are iterator class that's specifically meant for some specific cases like iterating for multi-dimensional arrays. There is also a recursive iterator class. Sometimes it's easier to use this specific tool to iterate through it rather than create a for loop in a for loop to iterate in multiple dimensions. Yeah.
No.
I think what's missing, what would be great to see, would be this speed comparison or something like that, so we would know how actually does it improve it, or is it just only code readability, or what are the exact improvements? But
well, there are some people typically complaining that the iterators are not different to loops. But I think in the case, what he meant is that if you use iterators, you are, for instance, in the case of arrays, if you change an array, it will create a copy of the array on the version that you are changing.
Mm.
And if you are using an iterator, it just traverses the values, and you are actually, if you need to change values, you are changing the actual array, not the copy. So that's why there are these details of implementation, depending on the way you do it, it may give you unexpected results.
Yeah, so he also provides the wings with more information and the list of built iterators. So users can check and see what the purpose of each is and when to use it.
Yeah.
And the next article is how to extract text and images from PDF files using PHP. So it's an article by Christian V from France, and as we all probably know, and as he says, you can open the PDF in Notepad++, for example, and see that most of there is a binary date and referencing to some objects, and you can't really understand anything. You can search it in as a text. And yeah, there is a class, PHP PDF to text, which you can use to do that quite easily. And if we see from the code examples, I think it creates like a simple script that it could be run also command line to pass the argument of which PHP PDF file to open, and it just creates it and echoes the text. So class parses it automatically and have the values and attributes. We can also opt to decode the image data, and for example, there are examples to get PDF contents by pages and how to retrieve the images.
Yeah. Yes, there are lots of people looking for components like this. This is a side comment. I'll be talking with this author, Christian Big. He's been very active. Actually, he's the leader of the innovation award this year because he sent a lot of innovative packages. And one thing that we may actually have an article comparing different PDF parsers or PHP that could be either libraries or APIs that you can use, because depending on what you want, you can achieve different results. This one extracts text, but there is a tool, I think it's called Poplar or something like that, that extracts the text but renders it on as if it was, well, usually for text terminals. So it render the document more or less like you would see. But this is not exactly just extracting text. It's also rendering it. And extracting text may be useful, for instance, if you want to create an index of PDF documents. So this can be useful. I guess this package even tell you in what page is what part of the text.
Yeah, it divides it in pages, so you can retrieve and iterate through pages.
Yeah, so I don't know if this article is an example of that. Yes, it is here, right?
Yeah, there was an example.
Yeah, because sometimes people want to say, oh, look at page something. And you using this class, it can tell index page by page. OK. Okay, so on my behalf, I also would like to comment on a few articles. Let me share the screen here. And the first article that I want to comment is an article called Business, How to Get Investors for Your Software Product Business. This is actually the first of two parts. And this is more for people that want to create a software product business, but they think they need investors, and they may need or not need investors to actually create their own business. So this is a video article split into parts, and if you want to watch the first part, just go here. And in the video page, it will show you a link so you can sign up to be notified to access the second part, which is already available by now, because when this was published, it was not available. So the next article that I want to comment is from Danilo Bilandzizier. I'm trying to spell his name. He's from Live Coding, and thanks for Danilo for helping to set up this streaming to Live Coding, because it require a lot of technical knowledge, but fortunately now it is working. Now you can broadcast this Hangouts to livecoding.tv. So this article that Oshi shows some screenshots, and he explains the steps, how to do it. You need to use OBS Studio and run it and configure some details to choose the windows to broadcast, microphone that we'll use, or even if it will take the audio of the desktop and stream it. And well, it has a lot of details for you to change, but this tutorial is pretty complete and detailed, and it is useful for those that want to go to live streaming and can broadcast their work, writing code or doing Hangouts, just like we are doing now. And and this is also to say that since this article was published, you can also embed live coding videos on PHP classes, for instance, to show some demo of a package that you have. You can create a live coding session, and then you can put the recording in your package page, or in a blog post, or even in a forum comment. So that is what this article is good for. Finally, the last package that I want to comment is about an article by Suresh Kumar from India. He developed a package that can validate email addresses by detecting if they are one of those temporary disposal addresses. The package has built-in knowledge to determine if the email address is part of one of the known temporary disposal email address providers. Many people try to use them when they don't want to give their own email address to websites, but that causes problems to the website. To work, because if the address is temporary, if the site sends a newsletter, you'll be wasting resources to send those newsletters to an address that will not. No longer one will be forwarded to the right person. So the idea here is to allow you to implement one of the this class in your site, and eventually avoid that you have to deal with those problems of temporary disposable email addresses. So, with this, we reach the end of the PHP articles report. And next, we have the JavaScript, Lightning JavaScript podcast. So, if you are watching this on live coding, stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment. So, on my behalf, it is all for now. Bye.
Bye.